Hey, this is Jonathan, and welcome to Your People First, the podcast that showcases HR and reward best practices. I'm delighted to have you here, and now it's time to put your people first.
This podcast is brought to you by Buddy, an HR and payroll software.
Hi, and welcome to another show of Your People First. Today, welcome our guest, Carl Grech, who is a performance coach and leadership trainer. Welcome, Carl.
Thank you, Jonathan, for having me on your show.
Thanks, Carl. So maybe we start a bit about coaching. What it is, what is it that you do, and how do you help people?
Sure, that's a great place to start. So let me make a distinction between what coaching is and what training is. So training is when you want to learn how to ride a bike. Training is going to a course, if you like, and listening and learning how to ride a bike. Coaching is having someone beside you, standing beside you, as you're learning to do the bike. So in a way, more hands-on. So that person is there, supporting you along the way. You're maybe asking questions, or this person is also seeing your technique and perhaps giving you suggestions of how you can improve your technique to improve the way you cycle.
All right, so as a coach, you're more of a hands-on, closer relationship, versus a training is, I'm telling you something, now go and do it. With the coaching, I'm giving you tips and tricks of how do you ride better, how do you balance better to get better at what you do.
Yes, some additional differences are, with training, you go into the training, and then you leave the training, and it's up to you if you implement what you have learned or not. In coaching, it's following through. So a coach keeps you accountable to the actions you set to do. So as a coach, I keep people accountable by either asking them questions. So as a coach, I like to think that the person I'm coaching is an expert in themselves, an expert in their field, and they know potentially what are their obstacles and what's keeping them back. So my role there is to help that person gain further awareness. So if I get back to the example of the bike, it's what felt uncomfortable as you were riding the bike. What could you have done differently? What were your stumbling blocks? You know, and this person gets to think for themselves of what they could have done, which could have helped them. And come up with their own, if you like, way of riding better.
Okay, and I think it's a very, very good analogy, because we tend to think, okay, I've ridden the bike, I've done it. but there's also something to think about to improve. Yes. So we're potentially looking at it from an angle that a sports person that wants to constantly improve is looking at it, not just riding the bike for the sake of I've ridden a bike.
In fact, all Olympic athletes, and I would say sports teams, have a coach. So a coach doesn't mean you're not good, or it's stretching yourself and exceeding your, stretching that little bit more to get better in what you're doing. So it's constantly improving what you are currently doing. I like to do this exercise in training usually. I get to get someone to volunteer and try to reach as high as they can on their toes. And usually I give them some tape or something to stick, usually on a glass wall, just to avoid taking off any paint from the walls. Because I've had that experience as well.
We learn from it.
And that wasn't part of the activity. And when I ask them to stretch a little bit more, it's always stretching maybe that 10%, 15% more, that you realize that you can do that extra little push, that extra. And that is getting yourself out of your comfort zone. So a coach, besides keeping you accountable, helps you to get yourself outside of your comfort zone, helps you to be more self-aware and be aware of yourself, your strengths, of course, primarily, potentially knowing what your obstacles could be or your weaknesses, and seeing if you want to improve on that. But at least the knowledge of what your weaknesses are is a great start.
No, definitely. And I think just discussing that is making a clear distinction between training and coaching. And we tend, in our organization, or at least when we think, is like we tend to do training. Even our education system does training, doesn't really do coaching. So it's probably a new mindset shift for someone to start thinking about coaching. So why would someone who maybe has been doing the training, knows the job, why would someone look into coaching, and why should maybe an organization see if someone needs that coaching?
Sometimes it's good to have that extra push or that extra support. If I rely only and solely on myself to do something, if I'm motivated enough to do it, it's likely I'm going to do it. But if I have either some doubts or some things are going to keep me back or some obstacles that could potentially sometimes be myself, then I'm going to maybe not do it. So, and it could be as simple as organizing my workspace. If I'm not motivated to do it, I can find any excuse, whether it is continuing doing the work or going to get a coffee or seeing if my kids need anything, to avoid doing that. So a coach will hold me accountable by asking, you know, you said you're going to do this by this certain date, have you done it? Sometimes it's not looking at the bigger picture. So it's great to have the big picture and the big goal of what you'd like to achieve, but then it's breaking it down into smaller points. So going to the example of my desk, it could be starting off with the things in sight or a pile which I might have in front of me. So a coach helps you to keep that accountability. I myself use a number of coaches, both from the aspect of developing my coaching expertise and skill, but also when it comes to fitness, for example. And I keep myself fit because I'm committed to meet someone. If I remove that commitment, it's likely that I will not wake up in the morning and get out and go through that extra
effort to get it done. And I can probably relate to that. So I have in the past, and I'm currently using coaches in our business development. And yes, it's one thing saying this is my target and goal, and one thing is being held accountable. And accountability can take obviously different shapes and forms for different people, but it always involves someone else. It's very hard for someone to keep themselves accountable.
It's not impossible, for sure, and it can be done. But it helps when you have that extra support, that extra push. And you can have a professional coach, or you could have someone else, to be fair. It could be a buddy that you have at work. And you're keeping each other accountable to do or to reach a particular target. Or it could even be to speak up in a meeting. So potentially you keep yourself back because you're afraid that you'll be judged, whatever you say. But that person might say, or that person might challenge you to be the third person to speak in the meeting. And because you voiced it out, because you feel that, you know, you've taken a commitment with that person, you're very likely going to do it.
Okay, so that's definitely a good reason for someone to potentially explore that. In terms of when someone is seeking coaching, are there any specific skills that you see people are looking to develop? Because obviously we mentioned before the difference between training and coaching, and I know both might cover a lot of different things, but is there some specific areas where maybe coaching works better?
An interesting question. I was going to tackle it from a different perspective. So there are various coaches and various people expertise. So what's important is that, number one, you are comfortable with the coach in front of you or working with. So you feel you can be open, there's an element of trust, and you can share. In my area, I focus mostly on people in a leadership development or leadership position. So either to develop their leadership skills, so starting off from initial stages of people who have either just been promoted to a leadership position or even as high as managing director or C-level. The needs, of course, are different. So as a coach, my role is to be curious and to ask many questions, to find out about that person, to challenge that person, and to be adaptable to their needs. So definitely there's not a one-size-fits-all. So I support people in their own skills, so developing their skills and realizing and bringing out their potential. But of course, there are different coaches in different areas. So there are coaches who focus specifically in presentation skills, for example. Coaches specifically who work with the element of confidence, maybe. Sleep coaches, so helping you to get that restful sleep that you would need. So quite a variety of coaches.
No, exactly. I could definitely see that. I mean, going down to sleep coaching, that's probably something some people may need to have a better work performance, but it's probably having someone asking that question of, are you doing this?
Yes. Of course, sleep is very, very important. I think we realize it as we go along. Whereas maybe when I was younger, I used to see sleep as a waste of time. But nowadays, I know that it is so much necessary to, you know, to be at your best the next day. So it's not the amount of hours you sleep, but having that restful night, being able to switch off from all the digital devices that we have, switch off even mentally to try and maybe put things in from your head down on paper or plan for the next day and remove any monkeys, you know, jumping in your head, which are going to keep you awake at night.
No, definitely. And in terms of the leadership coaching that you do, so what generally are you looking at to make someone a better leader? Because I guess that is their goal, right?
Yes. Of course, it takes a number of different facets. So we identify what are the challenges that that individual is facing. And sometimes it could be the cultural aspect. So we're currently working in a very diverse workforce, diverse not only in the aspect of nationality, but also in the aspect of age, where there are 5 different generations in the workplace at the moment. The aspect of working in a hybrid environment, not just face-to-face, in an office space or in a shop floor space. We're working virtually as well. So how do we ensure we retain the element or develop the element of trust with people and that they achieve the work that they need to do, that they get all the support that they need along the way. So we're gearing them up for success. Besides that, of course, there's the individual aspect. So how do I know that I'm open to listen to others? I'm communicating correctly with my team. So a variety of areas we focus on, the managing of stress and being resilient to, you know, to whatever comes at your face, you're ready to deal with it, so to say.
No, it's definitely very, very wide. And I would definitely say why someone needs to engage something regular. It's not something like you do a doctor's appointment, you're good and good to go.
I think also a doctor's appointment is something you need to keep constant.
That's true. That's,
I guess,
true as well.
Us males maybe are less prone to going and visiting the doctors more. The females, I would say, keep track of it more than, and I think that's something we could learn. Because of course we have this one body and we're there to live with it the rest of our lives, and our lives are getting longer. So we need to have a better quality of life, and keeping a check on ourselves from the physical aspect, I think, is just as important as the mental aspect.
No, for sure. And I think anything physical tends to manifest itself mentally and vice versa as well.
So yes.
Overwork tends to impact your physical state, and physical state impacts your mental state as well. So when someone is potentially looking to get into being coached, is there a particular mindset or frame of mind one needs to be in to make the most of it, or I can just turn up and it will work like magic?
That's a brilliant question, and no, it does not work like magic. Although there are those aha moments and you feel that there might be some magic. However, definitely the individual needs to be ready and open to be coached. So I think it's also important that the person also sees the need to change or do something differently. If we keep on doing what we're doing, it's likely we're going to get the same results. I tend to think that we're probably going to get worse results because there's lots of change happening around us. So if we don't adapt to that change, then we're going to possibly, maybe if I'm tragic, be extinct like the dinosaurs.
Fair enough. And and probably just a little offset from that. So if you are not ready, so it's not like someone can push you into coaching, right? So it's not, if let's say I identify someone who needs coaching, throwing that person with a coach is not necessarily going to fit and work, is it?
No, potentially that person needs to see the benefits of what they're going to gain through being coached. They might need to see as well the obstacles of what's keeping them back, and potentially sometimes as well, if this person keeps on doing what they're doing or not performing, whatever it is, I don't know if you had something else in mind, what's going to happen? What could be the potential risk? Or how is this affecting the business or the people around that person? So, of course, this comes into the element of emotional intelligence as well. You know, we don't like feeling that there is an element of something wrong with us or with the environment, but I think it's important to adapt. So if we look at the COVID situation, we were all struck all of a sudden, you know, with this COVID pandemic. We hadn't prepared for it, we didn't know it was coming, although there, people said there might have been some signs, and it just came on to us. We needed to adapt. We needed to find different ways of working, find different ways of communicating and keeping up the element of communication, because after all, we're social beings. So if a person doesn't realize the needs that they need to change, they need to realize what could potentially be the effect of not changing. So there are ways of getting that person, I think, or turning that person around. But I definitely would prefer, of course, a less confrontational approach. So showing that person the need and why
they need this,
and of course what coaching is, and that coaching is not for people who are not performing. It's also for, as we were saying earlier, high performance, including exactly. Top athletes and Olympic athletes, etc.
Yeah, because sometimes might feel like someone needs the help, so might have the negative bias. Have you maybe from your experience found any negative bias towards coaching, or are the people that approach you already open to it?
So mostly people who do approach me are open to it. But yes, there is definitely a negative, there could be a negative bias. I have come across people who have been put on a program for leadership development, which included an element of one-to-one coaching, and they felt they did not need it. But then it's having a conversation with them, getting them to know themselves, asking, I would say, the right questions, being curious, and then helping them to identify either what's keeping them back or what could they consider doing differently or how could they improve the results and possibly even the good results they're already achieving. How could these be better? I like to see this as sometimes we do not try. We don't know what we're losing out. So it's giving it a shot and giving it your best shot and putting your all in. So it's like, I don't know, if you decide to do some form of sports activity or run a marathon, it's easy to say, no, I'm not good for this, or I'm not, but potentially, if you try, I myself, my first half marathon, I did within 12 weeks from a couch potato to running a half marathon in under 2 hours.
Definitely something before you would have said not possible, I would assume.
Correct. But then at one point I saw myself in a mirror and I said, oh, I need to do something about this, and I wasn't feeling fit. So I pushed myself a little bit. I would say I didn't have a coach there, but I coached myself. So I pushed myself. I, started those small steps on a daily basis, doing 4 minutes walk, and then you increase it to 5 minutes, and then your walk becomes a little bit of a quicker walk. And it's stretching yourself a little bit more every now and again.
No, certainly. I think it's always that little bit of a push, whether you're doing it yourself or someone's helping you make it. And I probably have seen that from my own personal experience in coaching. So the first time I looked at coaching was when I started running a business. I had been 1 year in the business and had no idea how to sell. I'm like, yeah, this is either going to die or I need to build the skill. And I ended up seeking a coach to develop that skill and that leadership skill, because I was coming from a background where I didn't need leadership because I was working on my own. So all of a sudden you have employees, you have a team, and there are skills that you're not taught of in our traditional education.
And what would have been the result of you not developing the skill, Jonathan?
That's a very good question. I definitely wouldn't be here today, I would presume. Because I basically at the time I had only one client or so, but I had no skills of where do I find these people, how do I find them, and they are skills that I've built through. I believe I've done this, worked with this coach for over 4 years, and as you grow, you tend to be pushed that little bit more. Once there was an opportunity, for example, to attend a conference, and I asked this coach, like, I've received this email, what shall I do? Question was, if I were you, I would just pay and go. And it had transformed that business. Because maybe we are biased of, I don't know how it will work, I don't understand the risk. But a coach has seen this through other people and probably their own personal story as well.
Of course, this links a bit to the aspect of the fear of failure. If I don't try, I'm not going to fail. But of course, if you don't try, you're not going to succeed either. So it's, what could you do to either learn from the failure, perhaps. If we have a child who is learning how to walk, we're going to encourage that child to continue walking. We're not going to tell her in the first tumble, you're not good enough, you're not going to walk, and that's it, don't even try. And then once the child starts walking, we start exceeding the threshold. So we walk a little bit, you know, a step back, and they walk an extra step. And eventually they start running as well.
Exactly. And probably it's not realizing how fast that change happens. Because you might be seeing it slow. When you're on the other side, you're seeing it, yes, but I only got this far. But and over a period of time, the transformation could be, I believe, quite big.
Yes, and we are our worst critics. So we beat ourselves up for not achieving maybe the smallest thing. And then if some friend of ours were to come to us with the same issue or the same problem, we'll probably encourage them, tell them they can do it, and give them, you know, a pep talk. We sometimes need to do that to ourselves. So how can we be more self-compassionate? How can we have that pep talk to ourselves, you know, and encourage ourselves rather than beating ourselves up? And probably we're going to achieve much more by doing that.
No, for sure. It's definitely something that we all tend to do to an extent, as you mentioned. So if someone is potentially has leadership aspirations, is there anything you'd recommend or tell them to do to maybe start building the skills they need once they get there? Because I think once you get, if you build the skills, once you get to the leadership position, it's probably a bit too late to start. I mean, you can still do it, but if you have that aspiration, I think you should always be starting before. So where would you start?
I would say leadership skills can be attained through a number of ways. I highly recommend, you know, being part of voluntary organizations and trying, you know, either within a leadership role there, because there the risk maybe is slightly smaller. You're possibly going to be even given more ability or more chance to try as well, rather than maybe in the workplace. So leadership skills are not necessarily developed at the place of work when you become a leader. They're developed along the way. You could have, you know, someone who is taking care of the offices, you know, cleaning the offices, etc. And this person could be considered as a leader because they're setting example, they're, you know, keeping a good vibe in the place of work, and various other things which we could attribute to a leader, you know. So I would say it's trying, focusing on identifying maybe what are the individual strengths and what are potentially things that could block that person to achieve that role. So developing even maybe an element of public speaking skills and being comfortable with it, being open to speak up within meetings and not keeping back. I would say as well giving your best work and being courageous and brave to do things a bit differently as well. So these are some leadership areas which that person can easily develop, not necessarily being in a leadership position.
Yes, and I think it's quite interesting that you mentioned as well the experience in the NGO. I know you and I have personally been through that journey. So basically, it's something one could identify as a means to build that skill set.
Yes, and I mentioned NGO. It could also be an element of sports, for example. So there's an element of, within sports, we have teamwork, you know, working together as a team. An element of discipline as well. So being disciplined enough to, you know, keep your commitments and achieve what you have set to work on. So I think keeping in mind all this, you know, it's not just an element of studying and studying leadership. It's the practice aspect, which you could get in a number of ways. So as you said, in an NGO, you can do the learning by doing. And I believe a lot in this aspect.
I think particularly when it comes to leadership, there's only one way to learn and practice is by doing it.
Yes.
Reading a book about leadership will all give you these great ideas, but it's different from implementing them in practice, especially where maybe the culture of where you're reading that book is totally different to the culture that you're trying to implement into.
Yes, so being able to practice it is adapting what you have learned maybe in a book or in a course and adapting it in practice and seeing how does this work in this environment or in this organization, or how do I need to maybe tweak it a little bit to fit and to be molded for our needs.
So yes, if someone maybe has been listening to this podcast and is interested in maybe developing their skills maybe a little bit more, maybe they need someone to keep them accountable, maybe they need a coach. what would their next steps be? So how do I then, do they identify maybe the type of coach they need, or where do they potentially look for that?
That's a great question, and I don't think there's a one answer for it. because we all find different ways of accessing whatever we need. Of course, nowadays there's a lot of information available online. I would highly recommend that when they find a coach who is a credentialed coach. So on the ICF website, there's a directory of coaches in different countries, different locations, offering different types of services. You might, some people prefer having a male coach, some people prefer having a female coach. So you can even, by so to say, demographics, select your potential coach. So even in answering those questions would help you to identify, maybe I prefer this type of coach or that type of coach. I would definitely suggest it's trying to get to know this person somehow or other, whether it is visiting their website or getting to know them through social media, all this. But also, if possible, even having a short conversation, you know, a half-hour conversation, getting to know this person, trying to see how this person can help you to overcome maybe your obstacles or to be a better person or a better version of yourself. I think those would be my suggestions on taking the first step, so to say.
Okay, and maybe from your personal experience, when you're looking for a coach, obviously maybe the pandemic changed a bit how people expect things. Does the location or being remote make any difference? Because obviously if people are going online, they could get a plethora of coaches from all the different countries. Does being in person or online make any difference? I'm aware that you've done a lot of virtual coaching as well.
Yes, so from a coach perspective, I have seen no difference. So I have done in-person coaching, I have done virtual coaching, and I'm currently doing a selection of both. Of course, I'm currently coaching people on international level, so people from pretty much all over the world, usually within our time zone, but I have coached people out of our time zone as well. And I have seen no difference when it comes to achieving results or success, you know, whether it's in person or virtual. So it very much depends on the individual. So some people would definitely prefer a face-to-face aspect, but in today's, with our modern technology, as long as when you're in virtual coaching, you're in a safe space, so that would be a room where you have no distractions, where maybe people are not listening in to what you're saying, and you can speak up. Because in coaching, the trust aspect is very important, and being open and honest with your coach. And so being able to share, you know, whatever you're feeling, whatever is keeping you back, potentially what your dreams are. I think that that's very important. Sometimes it's not comfortable to do it in front of others, or with other people or ears listening to you. So I think it's a safe space, having that safe space and safe and time to do it. With regards to duration, I usually have either weekly sessions with coaches for half an hour, because the element of time plays as well. So when it's virtual, you know, you're 10 seconds away from wherever. Just press the join button and you're in the meeting. There is that flexibility as well. There's no need to get into your car, go look for a parking space.
So it's probably playing better in terms of time and giving people that opportunity.
Maybe. I would say it's also more efficient, yes, because you can get to do more in your day.
No, that's definitely interesting for anyone listening who maybe thought that going to a coach meant physically going to a coach. It's probably an opportunity to understand. I think something you highlight is being vulnerable. I think how would you say important is that to the success of the person during their coaching experience?
I would say vulnerability is not important only in the coaching experience, but I think in our day-to-day life as well, being comfortable to be vulnerable. Now, I'm not telling you be vulnerable in front of anyone and everyone you meet. There's important aspect of the element of trust, that you need to trust the person. You know that what you're going to be saying to that person is not going to be used against you, for example, or negatively, or shared with others you don't want them to be shared. But I think even if we link the aspect of leadership as well to this, vulnerability has become so important. You know, people do not want to work with fakes. So if you're developing yourself as a leader, that vulnerability is so important. You know, there are lots of examples from either organizations or from countries where vulnerable leaders have, you know, managed to achieve great success by showing their vulnerability and showing either it's okay to fail, and let's learn from it. And we're all human, after all. You know, we all go through difficult times and difficult patches.
No, for sure. And I think sometimes people get the impression that these big leaders don't have the challenges that everyone else seems to face. I think probably coaching is where you realize that, yes, everyone has these challenges. I've personally done group coaching rather than individual. And when you see these people who you think are successful that are in the same group and probably asking the same questions, then you realize that, yes, it's not just me.
Yes, and it's amazing that you say this, because I coached people from different organizations, you know, some blue chip organizations. And when I was assigned to be their coach, I said, wow, can I really add value here? Am I okay to do this? And you realize that we're all have the same difficulties, whether locally here in Malta, where we're based, or anywhere else in the world. We're all going through the same challenges, the same difficulties, maybe to a different dimension. But we're all human. I think the human aspect is so important to keep in mind.
I'll just switch to a small thing. You just mentioned, obviously, international companies or people abroad. Is there a mindset difference or cultural difference that you see between Maltese people who come for coaching versus the international ones, or not so much?
Let me start off by saying coaching in Malta is, I would say, in its infancy, but it's definitely picking up ground, and people see the need for it and the importance of it. So people who generally come or use my coaching services are already at that space or level where they know how important it is and that they need it. So I wouldn't say, it very much depends on the organization, the culture of the organization, and the organization per se. So I wouldn't really make that distinction between international companies and local companies, okay. Because I've worked with international companies who are startups, for example, you know, and the environment is different. Some other organizations where, you know, they're really mature organizations and have been there for quite some time. And there's an element of change, an element of fear, just the same.
So that's probably interesting, because we're used to, like, the big guys are the established guys and they're the strong ones. So understanding that they also have the fears that we do, then I think it makes it more important that we maybe realize that maybe it's potentially a missed opportunity if we don't understand ourselves and how we can improve ourselves better.
And it's just relaying back to your experience, Jonathan, about the leaders you mentioned, who you met in the group coaching, who have just the same fears. I think it's maybe they show something different on the outside, but inside they might be battling with something. So bringing back to the vulnerability aspect, we all have some form of vulnerability that we need to be open about and share.
Oh, that's very true. So, Carl, maybe to start wrapping up, if someone maybe wants to feel that little bit vulnerable or wants to take that leap or that step further and maybe wants to explore a relationship with Carl, how do they contact you and how do they make the next step?
Sure. So I'm very accessible on LinkedIn mostly, I would say, and I also have my website. It's carlgregg.com. I would highly recommend that whether through my website or through LinkedIn, I would have a discovery call feature where they could, you know, just have access to my calendar and block some time with me. And I would say that would be the first step of starting the process. And first of all, seeing if there's the right chemistry, and if I'm the right person, of course, to support them, and then we'll just go on with the work and get things done.
No. Sounds good. And I think that thing is definitely important, having the chemistry. So taking the time to understand that there is chemistry and there is opportunity. Carl, I'd like to thank you for being on our show, and thank you for our listeners for listening to another episode of Your People First. Until next time, Jonathan. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. If you're looking to put your people first through HR and payroll software, visit www.buddy.hr to learn more.